Live from State Street in the heart of Chicago, you are listening to the new home of the Chicago Bears, ESPN Chicago. And this is Waddle and Sylvie, WMVP, WSHE, HD2, Chicago, a Good Karma Brands radio station.
Get into Bears in a little bit. I think the Bears should air the rookie minicamp on their website.
At least parts of it, right?
I would say at the very least.
You know,
they air their press conferences and fans tune in. You know, and how you can watch us right now on YouTube, youtube.com, ESPN Chicago. We have our own channel, youtube.com/@WaddleandSylvie. Like, we had Barstool Big Cat on yesterday. You want to get that interview? It's right there. Like, go to, like, the Bears should air. Like, what secrets can you get out of a rookie minicamp?
Knowing the NFL, they would say many, but I agree with you.
Like, it's just the rookies. It's not veterans.
Half of them are just trying out, too.
Yeah, it's a bunch of... I don't know if the Bears think that maybe someone would pick someone off their roster if they see someone flourish that way, and then they would pick them off their roster and sign them because they're trying out. So I don't know. I'm sure there are some things that I'm not thinking about, but I would think you would get it. Like, just how you said, you can sell tickets. There would be a lot of people who would go to their website just to watch Caleb Williams.
Are you kidding me? You're sitting at in your cubicle at work or at home, and you can just click on a website and watch Williams throw?
Roma Dunze.
Oh, my God. Absolutely, people would be doing that.
Yeah.
Now, that's something I'd be doing in the press box at Wrigley Field. Because I'd be watching that.
Because it's Chicago.
I'm not watching Manchester United.
It's Chicago and it's American.
Exactly.
Not that soccer stuff that you don't like, that you were saying. Don't forget, I'll be at Slightly Toasted tonight. It's right by Ogilvie train station. It's on Clinton. It's basically Clinton and Madison. So head on out to Slightly Toasted tonight.
Well, the funny thing is, you'll be at Slightly Toasted, and you will be slightly toasted by the end of the evening.
I don't get hammered, but I will get slightly toasted.
Yeah, you did a lot of maneuvering to make sure you didn't have to drive home, which is the smart thing to do.
I never drive when I have one drink.
Yeah.
I will never drive even when I have one drink.
Yeah.
So I was going to do the train. I was going to Uber to the train station, then take the train. Then, because it's raining, I usually walk from the train station here. But because it was raining, then I was going to Uber from here. And then I'm like, you know what? What is Uber? And then Uber from the burbs was like $40-some. And I'm like, instead of doing all this stuff, I'm going to hop in an Uber.
Did you talk to the guy, though, or woman?
No, I just sat and I worked.
Okay.
I posted a bunch of stuff, posted my column about Eberflus. Yeah. Not that I'm opposed. It was a fantastic ride. 5 stars, 25% tip. Great stuff. It was a lot of leg room.
Well, I took the train and had all that as well.
And the train is fantastic.
And it was $5.25.
Is that what I
think it's so.
Yeah.
I think so.
From Deerfield, it's like $6.75,
I want to say. So I'm one stop closer.
So tonight, Slightly Toasted, it's presented by Elijah Craig, Kentucky Straight Bourbon Whiskey. And the Grip It and Sip It Classic is sold out. The only way you get a spot now is by going to this event. I'll give away a twosome to the Waddle and Sylvie team. Also, today is a Would You Rather Thursday. We've gotten some great Would You Rathers lately. Can you tweet that out, and I'll retweet it, Tyler, as well, to tweet them to Tyler and to Meller. Tyler's Twitter handle, going off memory, is @TylerAki_, and Meller's Twitter handle is Jeff_Meller. Hit those and hashtag it WS Would You Rather. We've gotten a lot of fun ones recently that have created great conversation, with Jesse being here, with some old man takes today. Lean into those, please. And you could win a Connie's Frozen Pizza. So send those to us, Would You Rather, hashtag it WS Would You Rather, and send them to Meller and to Tyler. Let's take a couple of these calls, and then we'll get into the Matt Eberflus conversation. Brian in Frankfurt, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Brian?
What's up, guys? I'm 52 years old, and regarding choosing other teams because of players, I'm not a young guy who's going to Minnesota because Anthony Edwards is playing there. Diehard White Sox fan. Tears streaming down my face just after I turned 12 in '83 when they lost. Couldn't be happier. you know, winning the World Series, 1-0, game four, my dad turned to me and said, I could die now and I'll be happy. I am done. I'm done with Reinsdorf. He's Bulls, Sox. I make my money. I'm happy. I have come to the conclusion that Jerry Reinsdorf is not out to put teams on the field and on the court for us fans. I'm done. I'm going to an organization where I've been to some games. Mind-blowing. Every single person in Yankee Stadium is watching every single pitch. They're not there to party. They're not there for anything but the love of their team. I am becoming a New York Yankees fan. Jerry Reinsdorf can move to Nashville, wherever he wants to go. I've had it. I've had it.
Yeah, that's a real, like, serious take, and I agree with that. Like, if you're just gone years and years and years and your owner just doesn't show any care for you, I understand. That's it. You're done. I get that. That's different than experiencing the ups and downs of being a fan of a team. Because I'm with him on that. If I was this diehard Sox fan or diehard Bulls fan, I'd probably be in the same boat. Jerry used to care. He used to care, Brian. I think you'd agree. Sylvie, you'd agree. I just don't think he has in a while.
Brian,
I don't either.
Brian, if he sells the team, will you come back?
Possibly.
Okay.
It depends who he sells it to. I mean, right. That is what's turned me away. My father, diehard Sox fan, is rooting for them to lose as many games as possible this year. He doesn't want fans showing up at the stadium because don't show up. If this guy's out just to make the beer money and there's enough people at the games, he's happy. But I went to the worst Bulls playoff game in the history of the Bulls with my son. Took him there for his birthday. Watched it. He wanted to leave after the third quarter. He was almost in tears because we got all set up to go to this game. And they didn't do anything in the offseason to make the team better. Nothing.
Brian,
that's what Jerry Reinsdorf is. It's not the GM. We could not have that many bad GMs and bad managers. It comes from the top down.
Of course it does.
Yeah,
of course.
That's the key to Middleton line. Crap rolls downhill.
Yeah, that's what I always say. It starts at the top. There's no coincidence that it's been since 05, since the White Sox. It's been since 15 from the Bulls, and it's why they, you know, haven't gone to the postseason a lot since 98.
Yeah, that's a whole different topic than what we talked about. If your owner has shown that he just doesn't care about winning for this long, this many years, this in many different ways, you know, you could tell when an owner cares and when he doesn't. That's a different story. I'm all for jumping ship at that point.
Right. And then when they do have something good, they find a way to fight with the people who are successful. When Tibbs has some success, they're fighting with Tibbs. Ozzie's got some success. Kenny and Ozzie are fighting.
Yeah.
Phil's got success. Jerry Krause and Phil are fighting.
Isn't that interesting? And the most successful ones.
Well, because what does Jerry do? Jerry doesn't put a stop to it.
Yeah.
And Jerry usually sides with a guy who's less vital to the team. Jerry sides with Kenny.
Yeah.
Jerry sides with Jerry Krause instead of Phil and Michael.
And I've told you why. Because Jerry's office is down the hall from the GM.
Of course.
And they meet every day.
Right.
He's not meeting with Phil Jackson every day. He's up in the executive offices and they're in his ear. Jerry, look at Phil's getting too big for his britches. Ozzie's getting too big for his britches.
Right. Or if you're worth anything, you go in there and you say, stop it.
Yeah.
Look at us.
Right.
Look at all how successful we are. Stop it.
Yeah.
We've got to get along. Or if we're not going to get along, find a way to work with each other. But I won't tolerate this. But it always Derrick Rose fighting with the front office.
You would have thought he would have learned his lesson way back with Hawk Harrelson. Because what did he regret? Firing La Russa.
All of them.
Because Hawk wanted it to happen.
All of them.
Because you always side
and
with your
make
executive.
Good. Make good with rehiring Tony La Russa. Make good wanting to rehire Doug Collins back in the day. Remember, he wanted to rehire Doug, and then Doug said, "No, I won't. I don't want to ruin the friendship."
Yeah.
Jay Ray in Des Plaines. You're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Jay Ray?
Hey, what's going on, Sylvie and Jesse? I am with you, Sylvie, on apologizing to Joe Madden if your name is on that list first, and here's why. I remember you, Sylvie. I've been listening to you for over 10 years, and it was a difference in philosophies between ownership and Joe Maddon. They would put Ian Happ in the outfield. They put Chris Bryant here, skippity-boop-bop there, skippity-boop-bop there. And it was annoying at times. But I clearly remember, and I'm pretty sure Jesse can back me up here, that you were critic after that 2016 championship. I think your words were, I want more.
More.
And you were criticizing that man day in and day out.
Well,
but
right.
I love you both.
On the moves,
equally.
For sure. Yeah, look, and I said that, look, you learn about these other moves as you watch more managers. Yeah. They all make moves that are going to drive you insane.
Yeah, drive you insane.
I was furious with Joe in that Game 7 of the World Series. Game 6, I actually fought with Cap about the moves in Game 6 and 7. Cap defended Joe Maddon. I was at Joe Maddon. And then you do a year later, Cap wanted Joe Maddon fired.
Of course I wanted
Joe Maddon kept. So like the difference is I feel like I could be mad and I could say, this is a bad move, or I'm upset at my guy, but he's still my guy, but it doesn't mean I want him fired.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, and that's kind of what I would say about Ross last year to Carmen and Yurkel in particular. Like, you can be critical. It doesn't mean he deserves to lose his job. I mean, I've been critical of Council already. It doesn't mean he deserves to lose his job.
No, I think Craig Council's going to be way, way better.
Oh, he's more of a plus, for sure. Yeah. But my only thing I want to get across to people is bullpen management, batting order, things you see in front of you aren't that important. They're not. It's the stuff you don't see behind the scenes that are important. Are you getting the best out of your players? And in fact, Council's done a great job when you consider $80 million have been on the injured list until recently, and they're still in first place. So it's those things that are important, folks, and you're not going to see them over a course of a month. You'll see them over a course of time.
Like with Tibbs, I was critical of Tibbs for playing guys when they weren't 100%. It didn't mean I wanted him fired.
Yeah.
Just like I ask players to get better when a quarterback throws too many interceptions, you're like, I like this quarterback. I want him to make better decisions. Like you ask a basketball player, get in the lab and work on your game. I wanted Tibbs to go in the offseason and be better with playing players better within context and not crush them.
Yeah.
But he never did. It didn't mean that I wanted him fired. I think you can do it with nuance. Do you know what I'm saying?
Well, you're talking to a guy that absolutely agrees with you, because I just think that we get bent out of shape about certain things that every manager or coach is involved in. 50-50 decisions. Sometimes they go your way, sometimes they don't. And when you have Josh Hader or Devin Williams, they go your way a little bit more often.
Patrick and Carol Stream, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Patrick?
How's it going, guys?
We're good.
Hey, so I just want to talk about, you were talking about earlier about not being able to watch like the Blackhawks back in the 90s. Feel the same way right now about the Cubs. I'm not able to watch. I understand you're able to play for a streaming service, but I mean, what other teams are having to do that at this point?
So you won't?
You won't buy Marquee?
Or you won't now because they're streaming?
I won't. At this point, I won't.
Yeah,
and I haven't yet.
Look, there are people too, like in the 90s who had Hawk Vision. Remember when they made Hawk Vision? We said, look, I'm not paying to watch the Hawks in the postseason. I think they made it a pay per view thing
to
get them.
Yep.
And just because that was new then, it doesn't, and it's more normal now. People are like, I won't go that far. I like it, but I won't pay for it on a pay-per-view deal.
I mean, Marquee is not exactly printing money from all accounts, so this is part of it. Like, who wants to pay $20 a month? A lot do. Not everyone, though.
Yeah, yeah.
I think it's the price point, too, because, like, I mean, I know Netflix has increased, but a lot of people look at it like, I can get Netflix for close to $19.99 a month, and a lot of them are like, I just can't pay $19.99 for just one team.
Right.
Yeah. And one game a night.
Yeah.
They would counter that you're getting programming every day because they're playing every day. And are you watching a show a night? Maybe you are on Netflix. But there's a wide variety of stuff on Netflix that you could watch, different variety and things like that. For me, Marquee is worth it. I think Boog.
If you didn't have this job, would it be worth it? I'm just asking.
I watch Cubs baseball.
Right.
Peggy was blown away by the amount of innings I watch. I probably watch in total when you add the innings.
Yeah.
145 total baseball games of Cubs baseball a year.
Yeah, I know that because we're always texting each other. So yeah,
like there are not many innings of Cubs baseball I miss per year.
I think I guess I'm in the bubble too much. I was about to say I think there's a lot of people like that are diehard fans, but maybe not as many as I think because we live this. But there's probably a lot of casual fans out there that don't see every inning of every game.
Yeah. So I wrote a column today for Shaw Media. You can check it out. It's on my Twitter page. I pinned it to my profile. I write a weekly column. You can read it. It appears in the Daily Herald every Thursday. It's in a lot of the other papers that I think in the Joliet newspaper that Thayer reads it in. Mm-hmm. I forget the name of it. He'll correct me at 5. But it's in all the newspapers that Shaw Media owns. But online you can grab it, and I put the link out there. This week's topic again is like the Bears are cooler than they've ever been, and Ryan Poles has made one great move after another. The one move that I didn't totally agree with was bringing Matt Eberflus. And if you listen to our Poles interview from last week, mm-hmm. I used the quote from Ryan in his over-the-top endorsement. There is no mistake. It is not just lip service that he is giving you about his head coach. He loves Matt Eberflus. He believes in Matt Eberflus, and he thinks he's going to be a hell of a coach. And I wrote about that, and I said, but now that Justin has left the building, and we did a poll question on this, Matt Eberflus now is the guy who has the most pressure on him in that building to deliver. This is a roster that is ready to win. He has had a say in the roster and the quarterback, and now on a new coaching staff that he's gotten his second offensive coordinator. Mm-hmm. He's gotten his second defensive coordinator, and he has built this defense, and they are ready to win right now. And Jesse, in my opinion, he's got to win to the tune of 10 games, and he's got to take them to the postseason.
Yeah. So a couple thoughts. First of all, I only want my GM to give an over the top endorsement because publicly. Privately, he can think whatever he wants. Publicly, you back your guy until you don't. And look, if you have to eat your words in a year, that's part of sports. You just say, it didn't work out. I thought we were going to be better, and we weren't. So I like the fact that Poles is backing him the way he is. In terms of judging him, it's interesting. It's easy to just say playoffs are bust, right? It's easy to say that for a franchise that hasn't made the playoffs in a bunch of years, that has to be your goal. Now, if you make the playoffs a bunch of years in a row, your goal probably has to be higher than just making it.
Of course.
But we're not in that position.
Right.
So that's the easy answer. Now, is there a nuanced answer to if they don't make the playoffs, they don't win 10 games, could Eberflus still be impressive enough that you continue to go with him, give him an extension, whatever it is?
Sure.
So and your I answer think, is yes.
Yes.
Okay.
This isn't a win 10 games or you're fired.
Okay.
This is like, that's my goal for him. I think there, again, like we've talked about the nuance with the other stuff.
Yeah.
Look, if they go 9-8 and there are a couple of different issues that flare up or an injury happens, right, or they go 8-9 and Caleb Williams is looking really good. And there were just a couple of things, but they're still with the arrow up. I think his job would be in jeopardy only under a disastrous season.
Yeah, well,
and
then
a disaster is probably in my world 7 wins, like staying the same, mm-hmm. or less. And yeah. Then he could be in danger of losing his job because I don't think what Ryan Poles wants is to bring in another new coaching staff in Caleb Williams' second year and do the same thing that other
right,
Bears
for
quarterbacks
sure. I mean,
have
if he
done.
Did that, he would probably force the offensive coordinator to be kept, assuming it's going well.
Well, and that's not good either. There's nothing good about that, especially if that was sort of a problem.
Yeah. Well, right. If that's the problem, different story. So the results are easy. Like 6 wins or less, he's probably gone. 10 wins or more, he's back. So what about that middle ground? It will have to see it. You know what I mean? Like if it's 8 wins or 9 wins, we have to see how they get to 8 or 9. If it's just results based, polls might say it's not results based. It's a rookie quarterback, rookie offensive coordinator. I just need to see things that maybe you're not seeing. But there's a results based business. We all know that. So it feels like at least 7, at least 7. But where is that line?
To keep his job.
Yeah, keep his job. If it's six or less, he's probably gone.
Where's your prediction right now? Or what do you expect? What is your expectation? My expectation is 10, rookie quarterback or not. This roster is good. I think Caleb is good. I think
the defense is good,
and the weapons around Caleb Williams is good. 10 wins, they won 7 last year with a much worse roster, and a lot of the games at the end of the games going against the Bears where they could have easily won 9 without all these roster improvements.
Right. So, and that's kind of my take. I have a buddy that calls average coaches headsets, like they're just there to wear a headset, and for a moment, maybe Eberflus is just a headset, like he's not anything special. But, you know, he could just be a headset. They could be really good. All he has to do is just, like, hold serve as a head coach because of the talent they've amassed. So I don't think he has to show, you know, Newt Rockne, you know, kind of abilities. He just has to be solid. And this team might grow under him just as is.
I'd be happy with solid.
Right.
Especially if the quarterback shows me he's great or very good.
Yeah,
if Matt Eberflus shows me he's solid and the offense gets off the ground and the quarterback is very good in his rookie year, okay, I'm good. What about you guys? Where are you guys? Would you guys sign up for that? Eberflus shows you he's solid, solid vanilla, but the quarterback shows you he's very good. We're in business, aren't we?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it all hinges on Caleb Williams. We've seen great quarterbacks turn competent head coaches into really good head coaches. And I'm thinking in particular of someone like Patrick Mahomes and the effect he's had on Andy Reid. Now, I get it. Matt Eberflus is not Andy Reid right now. Not even close in terms of the way people perceive him. But I do think
Mahomes is putting Reid in the Hall of Fame.
Absolutely, yeah. Jess. Well said. And then Aaron Rodgers. I think a lot of people look at Mike McCarthy and his coaching tenure and say, he's got a Super Bowl ring, but how great is he really? I think Caleb Williams, it all comes down to him. And so if he looks great this year, sign me up.
Yeah, like if Caleb Williams truly is great, I don't think it's going to matter if they fire Eberflus at the end of the season and we're repeating the cycle again. Like if he's truly great, you can work past something like that.
So yeah, but that's hard to believe that he'd be truly great and you'd still fire your head coach.
I agree.
That doesn't go together.
So is the pressure more than on Shane Waldron?
That you've hit the nail on the head for me. I was going to ask
being the head coach of the offense.
No, I'm going to talk to. I want to talk to Thayer and Joniak about that at 5 because that's my thing. It's now his turn to show what he has to spread that ball around with those three receivers.
Keep everyone happy.
They all have different skill sets and get the most out of Williams. Include the run game
and like, develop the quarterback and rookie receiver.
We went from Eberflus and Williams and Fields being in the spotlight. I think Waldron is completely going to be in the spotlight moving forward.
He may be in the spotlight, but I think the leash will be longer because it is Caleb Williams' rookie year. So as long as Caleb doesn't look like an absolute disaster, I think Shane Waldron will have some runway to like, you know, develop the offense in the way he sees fit. So I would be surprised if Caleb Williams looks competent in his rookie year, if people are getting really mad at Shane Waldron in the first year.
And here's the other thing, Sylvie. I think we all, or at least I do, have a negative reflex to starting over. This is partly why I kind of wouldn't have minded Fields staying.
I'm just saying
in my mind the idea of starting over was just like but the same thing with the head coach, like I'd rather not, you know.
Well, that's so why I was open to changing the coach because of that.
Yeah, I my default position is let's keep them all there, but obviously if they prove they can't do it, different story. But I hate the idea of starting over because that's really what it is. Every time you start with the quarterback, start with the head coach. But in this case, it was the right thing. I'm not denying that.
All right. Don't go back there. Don't go in reverse.
I'm not.
All right. Coming up next, Aki's A-List. We've got Would You Rather. Get those Would You Rathers in. Hashtag at WS Would You Rather. Send them to Tyler Aki _ and Jeff _ Meller, and shout out to these guys who came by. And these guys came by and they had a cell phone, the iPhone. I think it was these guys, right? Was it you? And he had his iPhone. And did you read what it said? It said, "Bear the F down." I was reading it because I saw F in there, and I thought it said, like, F you, Sylvie, or something like that.
Most of them do when they walk by.
It was bear the F down, and I like that.
That's good.
And in orange, it's awesome. It's great.
He'll be tuning into Minicamp if they put it on the website.
Let me get a picture of that. Here, get that back up.
The Bears!
Get it out of the way. Good stuff. And they're in the rain, too. All right, Aki's A-List coming up next.
It's time for Aki's A-List. From the mind of the man who understands the four P's of Waddle's world, Aki's A-List. The top questions and topics floating around in Tyler Aki's mind.
Are these really the questions that I was called here to answer?
Aki's A-List on ESPN Chicago.
Did you see, too, Tyler, that OG's out for Game 3?
I did see that just come across from Shams.
Shams just had that, which most people thought. You're not going to tweak a hamstring and play in Game 3. And I think it's a quick turnaround for Game 4. So that wouldn't shock me either. I mean, they don't sit. Like, they're so shorthanded, too. But Tibbs isn't going to sit his guys. They play like... Was it him or was it another player who played like 10 consecutive quarters? There was one player who played.
Was it Josh Hart?
Josh Hart played
10 consecutive quarters.
He's averaged 42 and a half minutes, or 48 and a half minutes, I think it is.
Yes, he played 10 consecutive quarters.
He played in only one overtime game. He's averaged 48 and a half.
It's probably the only chance they have, like, to go as far as they've gone.
He probably kept on calling Brunson, where is he? Get him back out here. Get him back out here when he left the court yesterday.
Yeah.
Remember, and it was the anniversary of Willis Reed coming back on.
I saw that.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. What do you got, Tyler?
All right. Aaron Schatz did a post-draft biggest needs or biggest holes on the roster for each team in the NFL. The Chicago Bears, his roster hole that he gave him was quarterback depth. I was a little bit taken aback by this.
No, that's stupid.
There is a quarterback at camp along with Williams, isn't there?
Yeah. Austin Reed from Western Kentucky.
He's
going to beat him out.
Bajan showed you last year if you needed two or three games, he could go in there and be competent.
Did he?
Yeah, well, they won. What did they win? One or two?
They went 2-2.
They went 2-2. And I'm not saying that he was off the charts, but he's a backup quarterback. And especially when you don't have a second rush end, mm-hmm. and you still may not have. We don't know offensive line if they've got everyone, and we still don't know defensive tackle, the three technique. So I still think there are other areas that are more important from a starting position that they don't have instead of quarterback depth.
Well, and the thing is, the better Caleb is, the bigger the gap to the backup's going to be. My point being, what star quarterback can go down and you're just going to be fine? Like, it's not... This is Caleb's show. I don't know who, you know, if you lose him for the season or something crazy, yeah, you need a really good backup. But whoever is going to be in there for him is just holding, you know, the ball for a game or two, whatever. I agree with you, Sylvie. I agree with you.
All right, another football story from Malik Nabers and Jaden Daniels.
Yeah, this was
something that I feel like we've heard about stories of guys having some of these like side bets, but Jaden Daniels and Malik Nabers have a $10,000 offensive rookie of the year bet with each other. Now, these guys were LSU teammates, and Jaden Daniels was on a podcast with Keyshawn Johnson and admitted that they do have the wager. Now, it does seem like the NFL rookie minicamp is when these guys go through their gambling orientation as well, basically get introduced to the no gambling policy. But do you have a problem with guys having side bets like this one, where you are indeed betting on yourself? Do you have a problem with that in sports?
I don't. Do I have a problem? I don't have a problem with them betting on themselves. Does the NFL have a problem? That may be a different story. Because I don't think they could put any bet down in any way, shape, or form with each other on their own sport, with a bookie, with an app. I don't think they're allowed to. But I'm not totally sure. I care that they go and bet on themselves if that's what they're doing? I don't care.
And the other thing is, how can the NFL really crack down? I mean, no one would. There might be a million of these bets between players, and nobody knows. But he went public with it. Does it make it any less sort of sordid if they the loser would buy the winner a car? Does that sound less?
Well, is that legal too?
Well, I don't know, but does it sound less betty? You know what I mean? Like handing over money to another guy.
Less petty.
You know, for this.
We're betting a car versus 10
yeah,
grand.
I don't know. It's like less goods, betty. Because it feels more like a couple of buddies, you know.
Goods and services as opposed to like cash.
The loser has to buy the winner
like a huge dinner. Like, you know, like yeah. splurging on. Like right. we hear that the rookies are, I don't know if they're made, but coerced into buying, you know, their line mates or whatever. Like
that's not a bet, though.
No, right. No, but, I know. But you bring up a good bet. What if they bet at dinner? Would we care? So this is just a bigger dinner. You know what I mean? So that's my point. Like, they could be doing this behind the scenes all the time.
Remember,
how would they ever crack down? So I don't think you can.
When you admit it publicly, is it problematic? That's, you know.
Okay, so where would they draw the line? Can you buy him a dinner? The loser buys a dinner. The loser buys a car. The loser gives him $10,000. What's the difference, really?
I'm asking. I don't know, because I don't know these rules. So I'm speaking out of school.
Do you know the rule, Tyler?
What would the league say between what they're doing, 10 grand, they're betting, they're putting up 10 grand on each other to win the Rookie of the Year. Jaden Daniels is saying, I'm going to win Rookie of the Year. I'm putting 10 grand on me winning Rookie of the Year. You're putting 10 grand on you winning Rookie of the Year. What if Jaden Daniels went to DraftKings or Circa or wherever and put down 10 grand on himself to win Rookie of the Year? The second is illegal. He can't do that. What's the difference between the second and the first?
So the NFL gambling policy states that they're prohibited from placing, soliciting, or facilitating any bet, whether directly or through a third party, on any NFL game, practice, or other league events such as the draft or combine. So
I think the league is not going to like it.
That's a league event. Yes. Like yeah. them receiving an award.
Exactly. The league is not going to like it.
And I said, look, illegal or not, Malik Nabers is dumb to bet on himself to win the Rookie of the Year with those quarterbacks in New York.
Right.
Daniel Jones is going to get him the Rookie of the Year award.
Right. Totally. So not only is it illegal, it's a dumb bet.
Yes. I think
4-game suspension for each incoming.
By the way, it reminded me, remember last year the St. Brown brothers admitted on their podcast that they had a $1,000 bet with each other on the Bears-Lions game?
I thought of that.
So yeah. maybe they won't care.
That's why I'm saying when you make it like a dinner, it sounds a lot more innocent. You know, when you, even
dinner's
a car.
Different, yeah. Well, a car is a little excessive.
No, I know, but it just sounds more innocent than here's $10,000 in a paper bag. I don't know. But I bet the league will not like it, because any semblance of betting on yourself or against someone else, they don't like that.
All right, so the Cubs have struggled at the plate. A number of players are hitting below 220 as well. And the bullpen, even though it's been a little bit better as of late, still has been shaky this year. What has been the bigger issue for the Chicago Cubs? What are you more worried about for the Chicago Cubs moving forward, the bullpen or the offense?
You didn't have to ask. Their number one issue, guys are going to slump. I don't love their offense. I like it, though. They've got guys who all should hit 20 home runs. The bulk of the guys in their lineup are all 20 home run hitters. Don't you agree?
There's a bunch. I mean, Nico's not, but there's a good,
half's
good
a
group.
20 home run
the middle
guy.
Of the order guys.
Dansby's a 20 home run guy. Morrell. Bellinger's a home run guy. Yeah. 20 home run guy. Morrell should be a 30 home run guy.
No. What you just said is 100% correct. Yeah, you like the offense. Maybe you want a little bit more out of it, but there's no doubt you'd worry more about the bullpen. It wasn't that long ago, Tyler, the offense was carrying the team. In April, it did, which is the irony of this. In the cold weather, it carried them. In the warmer weather now, it's dried up, even with Bellinger the last few days. I'd worry much more about the bullpen. Offenses go up and down, like you said.
Say is a 20 home run guy. Bush is a 20 home run guy. Sure. Well, how many did I name? Six or seven?
Six or seven. Nico isn't, so there's one. And then Amaya probably. So you're right. Maybe six or seven 20 home run guys. Yeah.
So, like, they don't have that one superstar in the lineup, but they have a lot of really good guys who should be really good hitters. But they don't, like, to not have a guy that you know is a lockdown closer.
Yeah, right.
And then other questionable guys throughout the bullpen, that's a problem.
No doubt. I mean, Alzolay struggling right off the bat is a, just, you know, throws everything. At least it gives Jed time to figure it out, though. Like, he might have a clear picture what he needs by July, if not sooner.
Or more time to blow more games.
Right, absolutely. You know, no doubt.
Early bullpen issues mean more time to blow more games.
But sometimes what happens is you come August 1st, you haven't done anything, then all of a sudden you realize, uh-oh, we are short here. He's got a clear picture of what he's going to need.
Real quick, I want to get this one in. There is a TV series being made about Shohei Ohtani's interpreter's gambling scandal.
Of course there is.
When is it too soon to put together a TV show or documentary about a current event?
I don't think this is.
I don't think so either. I agree with you.
Like documentary or news story.
Why not capitalize on it while it's kind of in the news?
Is it a TV show or
it's a
documentary?
TV show, yeah. It's not a documentary. It's a TV show. It's a scripted drama for Lionsgate.
I mean, I get what you're saying.
It's a scripted drama.
I sort of get what you're saying in that it just happened. Why do we need to relive it through a scripted drama? I get some of that.
Scripted drama, I don't know if I'm crazy.
You know, 3, 4, 5 years out, that might make more sense. I get what you're saying.
What did my wife send me about?
I thought you meant documentary as well.
My wife sent me a story about something with someone with the Real Housewives who's caught up in this gambling story.
Yeah, somebody on that show was the in-between that would get the money from the interpreter, right?
Ryan Boya.
Yeah, he was the bookie's runner or whatever
Boyajian?
You call it.
Boyajian?
Sounds like that German soccer league.
Real Housewives of Orange County cast member Ryan Boyajian reportedly caught up in the $16 million theft and gambling scandal surrounding Shohei Ohtani's former interpreter. She sent me that and I had no clue who this guy was.
Well, nobody does, but it adds to the drama of it all. Some reality TV stars in the middle of this, so I can understand them documenting it, but a scripted drama a year later might be too soon.
Coming to Bravo.
Right. Yeah. Who's going to watch that?
All right. We've got Bears Weekly coming up at 5 o'clock, which we will be a part of, by the way, with Thayer and Joniak.
These guys haven't heard my hot takes.
Oh, no.
They may never come back.
Or you may never come back. It's Waddle and Sylvie. Guys, we've been telling you about Sanctuary Golf Course for years. Chicagoland's finest golf course, a sanctuary in New Lenox, 18 challenging holes on a great track. Now featuring a 20-bay heated top tracer range. Check out golfsanctuary.com and book a tee time. It's home of my guy, golfer Bob. You no longer need to find your golf sanctuary.
Hey, this is Coach Mike Ditka.
Greg Olson here.
This is Stacey King.
Hey, this is D. Rose.
What up? This is Ludacris.
Hello, this is Stick Enberg. Would you like to play a little? Would you rather? Oh, my.
Right. We'll play for a Connie's Frozen Pizza. Pick it up at a grocer's near you. You don't want to cook tonight. Grab a Connie's Frozen Pizza. All right. It's an either-or question. It's would you rather. And do you send them to Tyler and Meller using the hashtag WS would you rather. What do we have today, boys?
All right. Would you rather trust the Cubs bullpen to save your sandwich from a pack of hungry seagulls? Or have the White Sox announcer, John Schifrin, narrate your dinner date?
Dinner date, stand up! She's a hater.
She's a hater, right? I was thinking That's the same thing. I'll go with the play-by-play.
Yeah, me too.
I don't trust the Cubs bullpen.
I think he would know maybe probably more about that than baseball. So I'll go with that.
Ben Knight would like to know, would you rather be forced to hunt all of your own meat?
Ooh.
Or only be allowed to eat prison food?
I mean, I'm a hunt for my own meat. Like, that's...
If I knew how to properly hunt and not kill myself or somebody, I might choose that.
No.
Because prison food sounds pretty bad.
I know, but... I bet you they're serving... I don't know. Waddle kills me for speaking out of turn about prison.
Do you often speak out of turn about prison?
Yeah,
is that something you do?
He thinks I do.
This is usually the place where we do speak out of turn about prison.
I mean, they've got to be serving Salisbury steak. I imagine they've got some Salisbury steak in there. Some mashed potatoes.
I'm going for the hunt.
There's got to be a pizza night.
I'm going to hunt for my meat.
You don't think there's a pizza night?
There's no Netflix and chill night. Well, maybe there is.
I bet you they serve
chilling. No Netflix. Yeah,
right, exactly.
I'm going to go prison food. There's no chance I'm killing anything. What am I going hunting for?
That's the problem.
What are we going to hunt for?
What about chicken? Chicken's not tough.
Chicken? Where am I going to find a chicken?
I think as much as I'll eat it, I don't know if I want to kill it. Like, I don't know if I can bring myself to shoot an animal.
I live in the Deerfield area.
I'm not the governor of North Dakota.
Like, you're now telling me I'm going to live off the land?
This is like the other day when Tyler revealed that his roommate has a Survivor game.
Survivor games, yeah.
One of my favorite things you've said.
They just go to the park, play Survivor.
Can you believe that? His roommate goes to Oz Park and he plays Survivor? He's an adult.
Very weird. Very weird.
We have to talk to him soon. I want to know more.
Jacob wants to know, would you rather clean porta potties or be a prison guard?
There's a couple of thoughts here. My initial thought is I'm cleaning porta potties because I do not want to.
You don't have the potential to die. Right.
Right.
That's number one.
But you can get a disease.
Yeah.
But the higher paying job is the prison guard.
Well, you don't know that.
Okay, come on.
union work. Who knows? I probably would clean the. I wear a hazmat suit and clean the porta potty. I don't want to risk.
And it's not like they're getting on their hands and knees in the porta potty either. They're just dumping it out.
Yeah.
With hoses and stuff. I'm going porta potty.
Play your cards right in prison, you could make some friends, and all of a sudden you get like the side income going that nobody even could be very lucrative.
Get invited to pizza night.
You could be running pizza night if you're the prison guard. I think we're a little short on time. We got Bears Weekly coming up.
Bears Weekly coming up. So this should be fun. How about this group? It's going to be Bears Weekly with Waddle and Sylvie show with Waddle out. And Jesse gets the invite tonight.
I got hot takes. By the way, I have one. Would you rather listen to Meller's favorite European soccer team or poke yourself in the eye with a fork?
give it to the one that the one before the porta potty one. What was the hunting one?
The hunt.
I like that one.
Hunt or prison food? Yeah. Just there on Bears Weekly.
Okay, that's good. But we'll start with that. All right, Bears Weekly coming up next with Joniak and Thayer.